Was a woman tough or what? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. She was tough in her perseverance. In the end, her petition made to the Lord, which was a prayer, was finally granted. The message to us is very clear. That we should never give up on our prayers. Even a prayer, poorly said, or when the kids are ratty, is better than one not said at all. What is prayer? Prayer is nothing other than a conversation with God, heart to heart. In this case, it is a vocal conversation, a petition she makes to the Lord. Which reminds us that there are four kinds of prayer: sorrow, asking, loving, thanksgiving. This gives us our prayer acronym, SALT. Of course, the greatest prayer is the Mass, which can be easily divided into these four kinds: sorrow, asking, loving, and thanking. We begin the Mass with the penitential rite. That's a prayer of sorrow. We seek God's forgiveness. We strike our heart three times. Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Asking God to purify us, heal us, and help us. Then we have a prayer of praise or love, which is the Gloria, that goes back to the angels. Giving praise to God at the birth of the Christ child at Bethlehem. Then later in the Mass, we have the general intercessions or prayers of the faithful. These are very clearly petitional prayers, asking, begging God for help in that difficult situation, for the sick, the suffering, the lonely, and so forth. The last and the longest form of prayer at Mass is the Eucharistic prayer, and the word is Greek and it means to give thanks. It's a long thanksgiving prayer, and much of it is spent on our knees. Prayer can be also divided into vocal and mental prayer. It would be a terrible mistake to think of the majority of our prayers as being merely vocal. In fact, all vocal prayer is meant to be mental. We're meant to be tuned in with our thoughts and words. But mental prayer is a personal prayer. Gradually, people are becoming more aware of the value of mental prayer, or as it's called, meditation, for one's own spiritual well-being. Mental prayer or meditation can be divided into aesthetical or mystical. The former is our effort to pray. We do discursive meditation. We focus on a particular theme. We make an effort to connect with God. While mystical prayer or contemplation is rather what God does for us, He begins to change us. He's active and we become more passive. Any contemplative knows the profound efficacy of this form of prayer. Of late, Pope John Paul was a marvelous example of a contemplative, a man who could do much through his prayer, his mystical prayer. And prayer is important, and the world seeks people who pray because deep down our soul has certain needs, and prayer is the only means available to heal us and help us. Recently, I was leaving a nursing home, and an unknown member of staff approached me, and she asked for prayers for a specific need. I suppose being seen as a priest is an automatic advertisement. For the value of prayer. After all, if the priest or religious is not first and foremost a person of prayer, the then what are they doing? Another aspect of this woman's plea that makes us wonder is the fact that Jesus chose to ignore her whilst knowing her needs. One would not be incorrect after hearing this Sunday's gospel in thinking that perhaps God has favorites. Does he? I know parents are not meant to have favorites. And we also appreciate that we should treat all people the same. Aren't we all equal after all? Everyone is a child of God, are they not? So it would be wrong to favor some at the expense of others. But wait, there is a false premise here. Not everyone is a child of God. Everyone is loved by God, but we only become a child of God at our baptism. Yes, we are all equal, inasmuch as we're not animals nor angels, we all possess the same human dignity. We're human persons. Therefore, we have basic human rights and duties. In that respect, we are all equal. But we are not equal in our abilities, our talents, or physique. We all differ, and the person who may be good at sport or football can be hopeless also at chess and vice versa. So being different means we are treated differently by others. Also, we should also be careful not to project onto God our terms of reference concerning relationships. How we relate to God and how God relates to us and how we relate to each other are all diverse scenarios. From our petty perspective, it seems that God does have favorites. Were not the Jews in the Old Testament the chosen people? So the Egyptians or Syrians at the time were not up to scratch? That's right. For God selected his own people and adorned them with actual graces. Why? So that they would fulfill his will. We look at the patriarchs, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David. They were all hand-groomed by the Lord to achieve specific tasks of what we call divine revelation that he wanted filled or fulfilled over time. Then we read about Jesus in the New Testament. He too had favorites. Of the thousands at times who followed him, he encouraged 72 to become disciples. And of those 72, he chose 12 who were his favorites and made them apostles. Then among the apostles, he had 3 favorites, Peter and James and John, who were brothers. It was they alone who were invited to climb Mount Tabor with the Lord to be present at his transfiguration. Likewise, it was these 3 who were taken into the inner sanctuary of the Garden of Gethsemane on Holy Thursday night. So God does have favorites, but be careful. He makes someone a favorite not for their sake, but for his glory. We think that it's all about us. It's not. It's about him and his plan. If he wants to favor a young man called Francis in Assisi to begin a new movement in the church, what is it to anybody else back then? If he wants to give a special grace to a Capuchin monk called Padre Pio to convert hard-hearted Italians in the confessional, well, that's God's doing, not mine or yours. Be careful how you digest this reality. Generally, God is pretty tough on his favorites. He has high demands. Just ask a Joan of Arc in France or a Maximilian Kolbe in Poland what it's like to be popular in God's eyes. We may think that it seems unfair because we seem to miss out. That's our bent perspective. God does not ignore anyone. Rather, we ignore him. As the Creator, he wants everyone to be a winner, that is, to enter heaven. And daily he gives us the graces, the actual graces we need to achieve that goal. If they are not effective or we fail to meet the grade of sanctity in the next life, the fault is ours. When we arrive in heaven, we may find that others seem holier than us. Yes, there's a hierarchy there too. But we won't be disappointed or jealous. Why? Because our capacity to love will be full. We shall be, after all, perfect. Nothing shall be wanting in us. Yet, we will note that others have a greater capacity to be filled, because in this life, they loved God more. In the words of St. John of the Cross, at the end, all that remains is love.